Accession number 21189, Rail 3.
Mr. Kwiatkowski, Rail 3.
Oh, sorry.
Yes?
Yes. When that German rolled into the gutter and lie on his back, I don't think he was dead. He was obviously, he might have been, I don't know, but I mean, he obviously was mortally wounded. So I bent over him to take the pistol out of his holster. Because I said, well, we can't get the belt and the holster because he's lying on it. And the fellow who was in charge of this patrol, he decided we need the holster and the belt as well. So he undone the belt, put his foot against the German body, and started pulling the belt, so to get him. And I shouted to him, don't be stupid, you won't get it, you know, because apart from anything else, on the German uniform, the Germans had hooks on which the belt rested. So, you know, you won't do it. And when he was pulling this, suddenly a couple of shots were fired. That was on a street leading from Marszałkowska to Plac Żelaznej Bramy along the Saski Ogród. Saski Park. And along the park, some of the buildings the German converted into convalescent homes. And the German convalescents would walk around in the Saski Ogród and was close to the general public. So obviously there were Germans in the park and there were bushes. And I could feel the bullet passing my ear. I mean, you could feel it, you know, not just hear it, feel it. So we kneeled down, and the fellow who was pulling also jumped onto the pavement on my side, and we're looking who is firing, you know, where from. Nothing, you know, no more shots. So we started again. The same thing happened. We jump back again, look, no shots afterward. We try for the third time. And eventually, this fellow pulled that belt so strong that the body just jumped into the air and the pistol and the belt came out. So, but of course, it all took, well, I don't know, a couple of minutes. And there were trams, you know, there were tram lines there, and of course it was a busy city, so at any moment could some other Germans arrive. And the other one of my friends had a dispatcher case with him and had hand grenades in them. So he ran to the corner of Żelazny Plac, Żelazny Bramy, it's called Iron Gate Square. And those were the German grenades with a handle. He undo that and stood that ready to throw it. And a motorcycle, German motorcycle with some, you know, right. When they saw him, the Germans were so scared. They didn't attack him. They turned back and ran away. And that gave us time to join them. Ran across part of the park into other streets, and there were Germans on bicycles, and they were, you know, riding like mad, because once they heard the shots, they didn't want to get involved. So we managed to escape, you know, with no harm done to us, with both pistols and the two Germans dead. By the way, the other one was shot by one of our child, because as he ran, he came from behind one of our chaps who was facing the other way. So when he saw a German passing him, he didn't realize who he was. He just shot him. Well, when we finished, that was a complete mess. It was a complete idiotic mess from the beginning to end. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. Because it could have been done without a shot, without anybody harmed, quietly, and if things went differently. At the end, I'm going to mention the name. The fellow with the villa in Świdek, his name was Zbyszek. So from now on, if I refer to him, I will call him Zbyszek, otherwise I have to describe him who he was. He was furious. He was absolutely steaming because he was the calmest fellow I ever knew, so phlegmatic. And he called the other chap whose synonym was Wilk, which is wolf. He nearly shot him. He said, "You bastard, you shot and disarmed German," you know. I had to calm him down. I said, well, he didn't know that, but I mean, he was absolutely furious. And it dawned at me who was firing at me. It was the patrol leader. Every time he pulled at the belt, he also pulled at the trigger. Because why should the firing stop if it came from the Germans? And I said to him, "How many rounds of ammunition did you fire?" And he said, "None." And I told him, "When we get back, you will find that you are 5 bullets short, one which you fired when you were struggling with the other German, and the other 4 twice which you fired when you pulled at the belt." When he took his magazine out, the 5 bullets missing. So the nearest I came to be killed in the whole world, there were other times when I was nearly killed by the Germans, but basically the nearest, because I could say, I could feel the bullet passing my ear. Well, see, I was bending over the Germans in the gutter. This fellow was standing on the other side, in the roadside, pulling at the goes right in front of me. And that was a complete mess, to say the least. You know? And, all right, if you tried it as a record, okay, we killed 2 Germans, we got 2 pistols. From the, if you like, from the military point of view, it was a success. But then, of course, on Tuesday, the uprising started. So, but even during that patrol, we were crossing Marszałkowska Street, which you know is the main street in Warsaw. And it was early morning and there was no traffic. And 3 of us crossed Marszałkowska Street and 2 were standing on the other side. And an SS car came along, an open one, with Germans. Well, I didn't have a machine gun, but they had automatic pistols, you know, we were sitting there with the pistols directed outside. And when they noticed us, because there was nobody else in the street, and at first they slowed down, and then they put, you know, full speed ahead and ran away, you know. Because the Germans were scared, you know. And of course, they were at a disadvantage in that sense that they were sitting ducks, you know, in uniforms, and when they don't know where is, how many of us there are, they realize what was happening, you know, that there were Polish resistance chaps there. And how many? Where are they? You know, what firepower have they got? So at first they slow down and then... So, you know, we were, in that respect, we had an advantage over the Germans. But if you look into the book which I got, where the records of where the Polish underground carried out attacks on Germans in Warsaw, the whole of Warsaw is just black dots. So no wonder that the Germans were scared, particularly when they executed Kuchera, the commander, Gestapo commander of Warsaw, and so on. Well, that's in brief is my account of my experiences during the underground activities. Now, there is a funny thing, because before the uprising, when the fighting came into the open, we were called underground. Of course, we did not work, physically speaking, in the underground. When the fighting came, you know, the uprising took part, after the first week or two, the whole thing went underground, physically. So, when the open fighting started, the starting took place underground. Right. Now, presumably, you want me to tell a few words about the uprising.
Please, in as much detail as you can.
Well, the uprising started on the 1st of
August
1944, and the hour set for the uprising was 5 o'clock. But the first mobilization took place on Thursday, previous Thursday, where the AKA was mobilized for the start of the uprising. But I'll give you a little bit of a background. The NSZ was absolutely against the uprising. They thought it's a crazy idea, it will never work, but also for another reason, that the NSZ considered since 1943 that the enemy number one of Poland is the Soviet Union, not Germany. Germany is defeated, you know, all right, it will take some time before they are actually smashed, but Germany is not a problem for the Poles. The problem is the Soviet Union. And so what they were planning to do was to withdraw the Polish resistance forces as the Russian front advances, withdrawing west. And they were counting that Britain and America will not accept Soviet domination in Europe. And if the Russians don't withdraw, that there will be war between the Western. And that, in that respect, they made a political mistake. In the assumption that Soviet Union is our first enemy number one, I agree today 100%. It was a more dangerous enemy, because with the Germans, you knew there were Germans and us. With the communists, however small the number of the communists in Poland was, there were Poles, and heavens know, you know, it was more difficult to fight against your own people. Of course, there was one other reason. There was war in Germany. And in spite of everything else, we absolutely believed that Germany will be defeated, even in the darkest hour. But if the Soviet Union, how long could it last? 100 years? How it will end? You know? We believed that sooner or later, like any totalitarian system, it will collapse. But when? And how much harm it will do? And how many victims there will be? You know. Anyway. As I said, the NSZ was against the uprising. Now, so when the fighting broke out, I and my other, Zbyszek and Jurek, you know, my friends from and the brother of one of them, were on our way to a meeting with our platoon in central Warsaw. We're walking from Stare Miasto, the old city, when we had last lunch, proper lunch. For we didn't have one till I was in Paris in 1945. And the firing quotas in Krakowskie Przedmieście, state in Warsaw, opposite the monument to Adam Mickiewicz, the Polish poet, were waiting for a tram there. When first we heard a few shots, you know. Well, that wasn't unusual in Warsaw. Nobody paid much attention. And then, you know, firing carried on, and then there were some explosions. And so we, like the rest of the people, we moved into some courtyard, you know, waiting for this to subside, not knowing what would happen. Oh, sorry. And Zbyszek and the other fellow went back to Zbyszek's home, because Zbyszek had two pistols privately owned in his house. And Jurek, the other one and I, decided, well, never mind, shooting or no shooting, we are going to get to our meeting point. And as we walked along Krakowskie Przedmieście, there was nobody else, only the two of us, as far as civilians were concerned, and the Germans were rushing out from Europejski Hotel and Bristol Hotel with submachine guns looking, you know. Anyway, it, but somehow they didn't stop us, they didn't shoot at us. And we got as far as Trauguta Street, and there were machine gun firing from under the Mikołaj Kopernik monument in Krakowskie Przedmieście, along this street. So we turned into Trauguta Street, and they were firing again from Malachowski Square. So we turned into Czacki Street, and there was firing. We just went into one of the buildings and said, what the hell is going on? You know, we still didn't believe that it was uprising. And our reaction, our first reaction was that it was either a German provocation, you know, that the Germans started firing to give them excuse to kill the Poles, or perhaps the communists. They started it, you know, to you know, for their ulterior motives, you know. And but eventually, we waited in this gateway, one building, and eventually a fellow turned up, a Pole, with an armband, a car, and a rifle. And we asked him, what's going on? And his answer was, I am the one with arms. I ask questions, not answer them. And this is something which I used later on, you know, in my other experiences in Germany. Anyway, now it became clear that it's uprising. Somehow we established a contact with the unit nearby, and all we did, said, and we reported, you know, we reported to this unit. We said, you know, Jurek was a corporal already, I was a Landskorporal, you know, in the NSZ. So we reported ourselves with our pseudonyms. You know, my pseudonym was Mazur. Mazur is a chap coming from Mazovia. And they accepted that. I said, okay. They issued us with two armbands and a whistle. And with those two armbands and the whistle, we're supposed to defend the Chansky Street from the Germans. We were absolutely fuming, because on Thursday, which was the day when the AK was first mobilized, we weren't part of the AK, we weren't mobilized, but we were supposed to leave Warsaw for what is Polish called to go to the forest, you know, in other words, go to join the partisans. And 12 of us were assembled in the room. We had machine gun, Czech Zbrojówka, which is the same as a Bren gun, with 500 rounds of ammunition. We had pistols. We had a sawed-off rifle. The reason why the rifle was sawed-off, it was used for training, so to carry it for training purposes, had the barrel sawed off and the butt sawn off so that it would be easier to carry. But nevertheless, it was a weapon which you could carry. And we had some grenades. And we waited for the order to go to, to go to the, to join the Polish partisans, but the order wasn't coming. And it coincided with the mobilization of the AK. Now, had it happened on Thursday, we would come out armed. And the important thing was the first few hours would decide how many Germans we can kill, how many buildings we can control. And that had to be done in the first few hours. After that, we had no chance. And here we were, Tuesday, with an armband and a whistle. And the armband was essential because it was a uniform. You know, we did not have uniform. And the armband was to declare that we are open army, fighting openly, and if we are caught, we must be treated as prisoners of war. You can realize how we felt, you know. Eventually, because the rear end of the complex of building was facing the German police headquarters in Krakowskie Przedmieście. And our object was to observe that. We could see the courtyard of the whatever we observed, and we could report what we could see, but nothing else which we could do. Anyway, by the night we were called back to the building where the unit was stationed. We were given two self-igniting bottles, you know, Molotov cocktails bottles, and one English, I think it was called Gammon grenade, which was plastic grenade which would explode on impact against tanks. And we were, the two of us, Jurek and I, was sent to a top floor building to guard against German tanks advancing Mazowiecka Street. Well, that turned out to be useless place because there was a gallery, like a balcony, running along the whole building, so you couldn't see anything from the window. We weren't too sure if that gallery is strong enough that we can go onto the gallery, you know, to observe the street. So we reported back that that's a useless place, we can't see anything. So they took us to a floor lower down. We stood there by the windows. Well, of course, again, that wasn't a good position because the only way you could see what's going on below you was to stick your neck out through the window. You could be chopped off. And there were tanks advancing from the other, and there were firing guns. And at one time, the shell hit the frame of the window when I was standing. It didn't harm me any at all. I said, well, that's it, you know. Lightning does not strike twice in the same place, now I can look out. But it still was no good. It was only by the end of the night that we eventually established what the best way to use our ground floor. In the ground floor window and in the ground floor gate. Because that's where we can, if the tanks do advance to us, that's where we can throw it and we can see it. And we hide it. But by the end of the night, already the civilian population built up barricades. The German tanks could not get to the main post office. Well, that's where they were getting, because the main post office was surrounded by the Polish underground forces. But again, the one, going back to the philosophy of the uprising, said, well, that's rather stupid, you know. But then he said, all right, I am a soldier, ordinary fellow, what do I know? Nothing. There are, you know, generals in charge who are in contact with the Polish government in London, who know what is going on politically, militarily, and so on. So obviously they must know something which we don't know, which gives them a chance to, you know, of success. Well, that didn't work out, because not only that we were let down by the, well, the Russians were expected, you know, I mean, to us in the NSZ, it was obvious, the Russians will stop, we will let the Germans finish us off, and then they will walk in, you know, when there's no opposition, not only from NSZ, but from any other poles to the communist regime. But we felt very let down by the Western allies that we didn't get any help. I mean, that American drop of 100 flying fortresses, liberators, came too late. The first two or three days it would make, could have made enormous difference. When it came a month later, by that time, any few guns, any few submachine guns, what have you, did not make any difference. The important weapon which we lacked was a bazooka or a piat, which you could not only to use it against tanks at a distance, not a bottle, but you could knock out a bunker. You could knock out a gate to a building with the, you know, shell from that. And We lacked all this. But, of course, nobody expected this. These few resources which we had that will last 63 days, that was absolutely incredible. And even the weapon which we had no ammunition. The machine gun which I was telling you about, which we had, our platoon had, 500 rounds of ammunition. How long will that last? There were two boxes of 10 magazines in each box with 25 rounds of ammunition in each magazine. By the way, I forgot to mention this to you. I was involved in transporting that machine gun before the uprising from Prague to Chedna Street, you know, in central Warsaw, and that I am quite proud of. If I can go back on this exercise,